Everybody needs encouragement. I put an emphasis on that first word, everybody. We all need encouragement as Christians. It's tough times. Life is tough on its own. And the older you get with health issues and all that sort of thing, you find out why they call these the golden years. It's because you need a lot of gold to get through them with the doctors and the medicines and all that sort of thing. I take 14 pills every morning. A lot of those are just supplements like fish oil and cinnamon and stuff like that. But allergy pill and joint pain and cholesterol-lowering medicine and all of that kind of stuff. And blood pressure pill and diabetes pills. And so I take at least half that many at night and 14 in the morning. And most people my age are on a lot of the same things that I'm on. And it makes life last longer, supposedly. They don't consider the quality of life, but to live longer is the goal that most folks have. Just dealing with all of that is tough enough, but then you add the political pressures today, the damage to the church that's been caused by all of this COVID scare and issues like that. This church still just barely is back to half its regular Sunday attendance with the people coming. Now, I'm not being critical of anybody who's staying home to watch it because they've got children, because they're concerned about not being social distance enough. Our auditorium is only large enough for the crowd we got right now to distance like we need to distance. And if we had our regular attendance, we'd have to be sitting side by side in pews and some things like that. Of course, we could put people up here because we're not doing the choir. Our voices go out, they say don't sing, so we're singing like we're singing. It's discouraging to those in the ministry who have worked so hard to help build the church up, and then to see it cut in half with what's going on in society. So today I want to look at the Word of God for encouragement for believers and a warning for unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, or every good word and work. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your help. I pray for the peace of God in our hearts today. I pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to work in the midst of our lives. I pray that you will receive praise, honor, and glory for everything that's said and done here today. And I pray that the unbelievers of our society would hear again the warning and the gospel message and turn to Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Thank you that you've saved us. Help us now to live to please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now there's a great contrast here between the lost who will come under the judgment of God. In verse 11 and 12, he said, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." So those who reject the truth of the gospel message and continue in the pleasures of sin one day it's going to be too late. One day there's not going to be another opportunity. One day the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this earth and the judgment of God will come. Thank God if you're saved today. Thank God that in His mercy He has forgiven us of our sins and washed away our unrighteousness and has given us His Spirit and has given us His Word and His church that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to those who have rejected Christ and rejected the gospel message because of the pleasures of living in sin, they could have been saved by believing the truth of the gospel. The love of the truth is their problem. It conflicts with their lifestyle. It bothers them. They'd have to give up some of their sinful ways. And many live in sinful ways and try to add Jesus to their repertoire as if they're a Christian, but there's no Christian living taking place in their life. They will suffer the judgment of God, and we are trying to warn them before it's too late. Antichrist will have them in his clutches. Satan will lead them to continue in their lifestyles and rejecting of the Lord, and opportunities by grandmothers and mothers and dads and godly friends who plead with people and witness to them and give them gospel tracts and buy them books to read and do everything they can do, inviting them to church every time we have a special day and trying to get them to come to the dinner on the grounds. And that's the only time some of them will come is when food's there and they can eat. They figure they can put up listening to Pastor Parrish for 45 minutes if they get a free meal out of the deal, you know. And then they reject everything that's been said and go on and continue in their lifestyle. The Antichrist in the last days not only has power from Satan, but God will send these rejectors a delusion to believe the lies of the Antichrist. He will remove the restraining power of the Holy Spirit so that evil is unleashed upon the earth. So all of these earth dwellers who've rejected truth and want to live in sin will have what they wanted all along. Absolute, no restraint for them to live as they please, rejecting the truth of the Word of God. Their ruler Antichrist will beguile them with deception. He will have deceiving powers. And if not for the grace of God, he would deceive the very elect. But the purpose is that those might be damned who have rejected truth to continue in the pleasures of sin. We appeal to unsaved friends. We appeal to unsaved family members. Know for sure that you must be saved in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. Call upon Him today. Confess you are a sinner to Him. Don't think you've got to match up with living everything in the right way the moment you believe. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, and He'll help you to live for Him and to serve Him as He has done for us all. See it now while you have the opportunity to be rescued. You're treading water right now, my friends, in the age in which we live, that Christ is going to come and deliver all the lifeguards of this world. Everybody who's saved is going to heaven to be with the Lord. And you won't have anybody preaching to you anymore. You won't have anybody witnessing to you anymore. You won't have anybody warning you about the dangers of hell and the everlasting lake of fire. And you think you get what you want to be rid of Christians. But my friend, that is the only lifeline you've got left to reach out to right now while there's opportunity. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. He warns that the mystery of iniquity is already at work, and Satan is behind all that. He's the man behind the curtain, pulling the levers to deceive and to trap and to keep people blinded to the truth. And now, while there's opportunity, turn to the Lord and believe. Look, if you would, at verse 13, we have "but," the beginning of that verse. "But we," the contrast between those in verse 11 and 12 and those in verse 13. Let's back up just a moment. Look back at chapter 1 and see his introductions to this church at Thessalonica that he writes this second letter unto. Paul addresses the church at Thessalonica with encouragement because they're in persecution. In verse 1 through 12, you can read that later today. He speaks about the fact that this church, Christ is coming to glorify them, and the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified in them. But now they're in the midst of trial and test and tribulations. Verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you and the church of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." He reminds them there's coming a righteous judgment upon those who are persecuting the believers. And it's important that we are encouraged by God's word and encouraged by God's mercy to us, encouraged by the promises that God is keeping us by his power. This church's faith has grown and their love for one another. They have shown patience and faith in the midst of persecution and tribulation. They've got the Roman Empire persecuting Christians. You've all seen and read the history of Rome and the gladiators in the arena and how they put Christians in there to feed the lions and to allow the sport for the gladiators to slaughter and to punish because they have not repented and worshiped the idols of the Roman Empire and declared that the Roman emperor is God and worship him. Jews and Christians alike would not bow the knee to that. They would not declare that. And because of that, many of them were slaughtered who were our fellow believers. Not only did they have the Romans persecuting them, but these churches suffered from the Jews who were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They sought to kill the Apostle Paul. They killed Stephen. They wanted to stone them. They wanted to bust up their groups of churches because they were drawing nice crowds of people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that angered them. And they wanted control over these people, and so they persecuted them. And then on top of that, not only did they have the Roman law and the Jewish religion, but they had the idolaters of their Gentile countries. And they were caught up in all kinds of sins, and they wanted nothing to do with those that told them they couldn't live in the manner in which they were living. We know the day of the Lord will come. He will take vengeance on them that know not God and did not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. But to the believers in the church, prayer God will fulfill all his good pleasure and his goodness to us with the work of faith and power, that Christ will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the working of God and the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be caught up to be with him and be glorified with a new body like his body, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Now look back at verse 13 again, if you would, in chapter 2. "We give thanks for all our Christian brothers and sisters. You are the beloved of God, chosen by him unto salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. This same truth the unbelievers have rejected. Christ is the light of the world, and his light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not, because their deeds are evil." Look at John, the Gospel, chapter 3, if you'd like. I'm going to turn and read there in verse 18 of chapter 3 of the Gospel of John. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we have come to the light of Christ to believe, knowing and confessing to him that we are sinners, and he, by the grace of God, has cleansed us of our sin and given us everlasting life. And now that light shines in us, and we are to let that light shine before the unbelieving world before it's too late for them. The unbelievers who are living in sin and reject the truth have no desire to be rescued out of their lifestyle, out of their sin, out of their pleasures, and they refuse to humble themselves before the Lord and acknowledge him as Lord, that they would obey him and his word. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we didn't pay a great price in order to be saved. All we did was give our sin to God so that he might cleanse us of it. We didn't have to pay a price. We didn't have to do some great work. We didn't have to spend years in study and travail like a medical doctor trying to certify for the medical world. No, we didn't have to do any of that. All we had to do was bow ourselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save us and cleanse us of all of our sins. And we owe him the praise, honor, and glory for it all. The simple gospel message. Now, these boys and girls up here, some of them have been in the church for a long time. And from the time they were in the nursery, they've been learning about God and the Lord Jesus and the grace of God and how to pray to him and believe on him and how he will save you. And many of them have come up through our Sunday school, and when they get to a certain age, God begins to speak to their heart, and they begin to have a fear of their sin before God. And they come to their teachers, and they go to their parents, and they talk about, I'm not saved, and I need to be saved. And Preacher Parrish preached from the pulpit that we need to be saved to go to heaven, and I'm not saved. And thank God they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they get saved, and they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and they become a part of the church from a young age because their parents have taught them and brought them to a church that preaches and teaches truth and helps them to understand. We can't walk both sides of the street and serve God. We can't live in sin Monday through Saturday and then come to church on Sunday and declare that we're a Christian. My friends, if you're saved, you ought to have a desire to live for the Lord and to turn away from sin. And there's a warning that if you have the pleasure of unrighteousness, you're going to suffer the judgment of God. You who are saved responded to God's call and believed the gospel. And now you could be a persecuted believer in trial, in persecution, in tribulation. And so Paul gives the admonition to stand fast, to hold on to what you've been taught and what is sacred. Verse 16 and 17 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the consolation and comfort for troubled times. Prayer for the church. Prayer that God will comfort his people and strengthen us in these troubled times that we live in to be the Christians we need to be and to be the witness we need to be and to beware of the pleasures of sin luring to us that are so easily accessible in this day and time in which we live. Prayer for the church. A call for help in time of need goes out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there's so much going on in our world today that we have absolutely no control over, and we pray for your intervention. We pray for your help to change those things that we cannot change. Save those people who are lost, and make a change in attitudes in our world today. We pray for help to him who has shown and proven to us that he loves us, and he paid the price for our salvation by dying on the cross. But you know the story. There's far much more to the sacrifice he made for our behalf. He left his 100% spirit being status with God and the worship of angels, and he took on flesh that he might become the one perfect man who could pay the price for our sins by dying on the cross. It caused separation from the Father as he was dying on the cross. It caused him to experience all the things that we experience, from hunger and thirst and weariness and temptations that Satan threw at him. But he could not have any inroad with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he rejected his word. Christ came in the incarnation. He fulfilled all the will of God. He went to the cross and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. In Revelation 1:18, he said, "I am alive forevermore and hold the keys of hell and death." To him who loved us, to him who gave himself for us, to him we pray and ask for help and intervention in our troubled times in which we live. We can be comforted in him. And the distinguishing between the saved and the lost is made very evident. John wrote about it in 1 John chapter 3 in verse 9 and 10. He said, "In this are manifest the children of God and the children of the devil." And how are they manifest? By sin and unrighteousness. Those who love the pleasures of sin and unrighteousness, it is manifested they are not the sons of God. And those who live righteously, it's manifested they are the sons of God. These verses deal with sin and unrighteousness and how the practical aspect of living the Christian life is the evident difference between the saved and the lost. Our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ has granted us some very important gifts. Eternal encouragement. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, every good word and work." We have good hope, eternal encouragement. We have encouragement in the present to live for God and serve God because God's on the throne and he knows what's taking place and he has shown his love for us and he keeps us by his power. And so we can be encouraged to continue to live for him and be grounded in the truth. We have submitted to the authority of the Lord. It repudiates the world, the flesh, and the devil because we see them for what they are. And we turn away from them to God to be rescued from their clutches. We've submitted to the yoke with Christ. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." The two oxen were yoked together. So they worked together. They plowed together. One of those would be the lead oxen that would be the one to turn and the other would go with him. They would stop and they both would stop. And we need to yoke ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him and obey him and do what he calls us to do, because that's where we're going to find joy and peace and happiness and blessings from God if we will do that. Too many attend church or watch TV, and instead of being on believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have simply, like the idol worshipers, added Jesus to what they believe. That's not how you get saved, friends. You can't just add Jesus to worshiping something else or to continuing to live in sin. When you come to Jesus, there's a change that takes place within you. And God, by His power, helps you to turn away from sin. And you won't continue to worship idols if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That must go. I had a professor, it was such a blessing, Brother Elmer Deal. They called him Buona Deely. He went to the Belgian Congo not long after World War II was over. And he established about 30 churches. And he built the churches with the people's help, with just a book on how you make mortar and brick. And the only thing he bought was a block machine. And they'd put the mud in, and they'd make the blocks, and they'd build a building, and they'd put a grass roof on top of it, and they'd make benches. And some of those churches had 800 and 1,000 people. And the way they knew when it was time to go to church from those villages is they would ring a bell. He wrote to the United States to every church of every denomination that he could find and said, if you got a bell on your church property that you're not using, why don't you put it in the ministry? Because our people don't have watches and clocks and bus transportation and all that sort of thing. They walk in a village to the church service, and they don't know when to come until the bell rings. So we ring a bell. And he said he got more bells than you could shake a stick at. He said churches sent him those great big ones that you pull the side of the lever, dong, dong, dong. And he put those bells up and built those churches and those people. He said the way he knew they were genuinely sincere about Christ was they brought their idols out of their house and put them in the fire in the middle of the village and burned their idols. And that made a declaration that not only that they were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but willing to stand up in front of their fellow villagers and say, I turn away from these false idols and believe on the living God. And my friends, none of that has changed. We got better clothes today, and we live in better places, and we got some money in the bank, and we eat better food. But sin is still sin, and people are still just as lost as the folks in those dark villages were. And by the grace of God, we can be saved today just like they got saved. Praise God. Brother Deal had a paddler. He got a little boat canoe, and they would go down the river, and they would see a trail going up, and he'd pull that boat in. And they'd go up the trail to find the village where the people came down to the river to get water and to fish and that sort of thing. He could tell about how beat out the trail was, how big of a village that was there. And he would go up into those places and he would preach to them. Their primary language in that area was French because of the Belgian influence in the Congo in those days. Now, all of those people had their own tribal village languages, but most of them understood French also. And so he learned French, and he'd go up those villages, and he said one day he turned a little bit of a curve, and there was a man standing there with an arrow drawn, pointed at him. And he didn't know if that fellow could understand him or not, but he just started giving him the gospel. He said about halfway through, the fellow let the strength off the arrow. And when he got through telling him how to be saved, he put it down on the ground and ran back in the village. Brother Deal said he didn't know if he was going to get a bunch of warriors to throw a spear through him or what he was doing. He said a few minutes passed, and here he come with a fellow on his arm. And he told him then, he spoke for the first time, and said, this is my brother. Tell him what you told me. God, in His mercy and His power, can save people from that lifestyle and from the dangers of sin. And the call goes out today again. Come to Christ and be saved before it is too late. You can't just add Jesus to idols. You've got to turn from them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have that changed life that's pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And the power to live for Him is given by Him to you who believe, so that you will obey Him and study His Word. Christ is Lord. And the proof of that is in our obedience. Trials and tests may come, my friends, because Satan is still our enemy. He causes doubt in God's word. He causes people to practice sinfully and to live according to their own ways instead of living according to the word of God. But nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. David found himself in desperation at Ziklag. The enemies had come and taken of their stuff and their families, and they'd been off at war, and they came back, and all their stuff was gone through, and they were gone. And David didn't know what to do. He took the ephod and he prayed. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Friends, if you're in trial today and test today and trouble today, encourage yourself in the Lord. Remind yourself of how God is good and the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and that God is all-powerful and has given you His Spirit to live within you. To our unsaved friends today, I say to you, the Bible says, without Christ, you're without hope. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. The unsaved are without hope. They're without Christ. They're without God. Regardless if they live a moral or an immoral life, without Christ, they're going to suffer the judgment of God. To us believers, stand fast with the assurance that God loves you. And His power can give you consolation and encouragement and alleviate your fears and anxieties. And God can bless you with the peace of God that passes understanding. Good hope and comfort. Comfort is an English word. It means with strength. But the Greek word that is translated comfort comes from the same word for comforter, where the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and that means called alongside. It's like God has called alongside you to put His arm around you and encourage you and help you and strengthen you and lift you up for the tough times you're going through. It will renew your moral energy and spiritual rededication, strengthens our minds so that we are not tempted to weaken in the midst of the battle. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 and verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, given me new life." The word of God has the power to renew your spiritual life so that you might stand fast in what you've been taught and what we believe. Comfort of God, good hope, eternal encouragement establishes us for good works. Let's thank God if you're saved. And if you're not, my friend, you ought to run down here to this altar and put your heart to God. Confess your sin to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again to give you everlasting life. And you that are watching by live stream, I plead with you. Get out on your knees right now and pray and ask God to forgive you and save you and give you everlasting life and help you to have a testimony for the Lord before it is everlastingly too late. Those who continue to live in the pleasures of sin and reject the gospel message, one day it's going to be too late. And we don't know when that day is going to be. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love and mercy to us. We thank you for the encouragement and good hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we know none of us are perfect, O Lord, and we all fail. But there's a major difference between the heart relationship of one who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and one who is an unbeliever that thinks they can just live as they please and have no recourse. God, we're so thankful you paid the price for our sins that we might be saved and have everlasting life. And we ask for your encouragement today in a troubled world. We pray for these people that are doing all this rioting and looting and all that sort of thing today. And it's not just black folk. There's a lot of white people involved in this Antifa movement and all that. We pray, God, for them to see the truth of the gospel message that we are brothers and sisters from one blood, and they are rejecting that, and they are rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ who died to save us from sin. And if they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be brothers and sisters in Christ, and we'll live together forever in heaven with one another. And we long for that and look for that and pray for that. We ask for your peace in Jesus' name. Amen.